Welcome back to episode 30 of That's a Freebie. The title of this episode is I Am. I'm going to talk to you this week about really interesting stories like my leaky radiator. Ooh. But first, the theme tune. For a while now, I have had a problem with a radiator in the bathroom that leaks. It's been doing it for well over a year, to the point where at one point last year, it leaked so badly that it was coming through the ceiling in the dining room where I'm sat now, actually. In fact, just to my left, water was pouring. It was absolutely everywhere. And we had to get someone out to solve the problem, obviously. They replaced the radiator because the radiator was leaking, and problem solved. Or was it? No, it wasn't. You probably worked that out already, considering that I said I was going to tell you about my leaky radiator. So, yeah, the problem wasn't solved. I started seeing drips of water coming from the bottom of the radiator again about a week ago. And I thought to myself, oh, no, not this again. This is going to be an absolute nightmare. And it kind of was, because I didn't have the right spanner to fix it. A friend from work was able to lend me one, problem solved. However, we have solved the problem of the leaky radiator, and why it's the new radiator has started leaking in the exact same way. It's actually the joint at the bottom of the radiator that's leaking. So the part where the pipes that come up from the floor connect to the radiator, and it's leaking there. It's almost like it's coming loose. And obviously what we wanted to work out was, why is it coming loose? And it turns out that it's not what I thought it was. So I had assumed, because it's one of those towel radiators. So you basically, it's like a giant H shape is the best way of describing it. So it works quite well as a handle. If you're on the toilet and you want to get off the toilet, it's actually quite natural to reach up and grab it and use it as a handle to lift yourself up. I know I've done it. And I was assuming that the kids have been doing that and maybe swinging a little bit and pulling it. Because what it's been doing, it's basically been pulling away from the wall on one side of the radiator and twisting. So when we push it back, it's slowly but surely been twisting the nut that holds the pipe in place and coming loose. So I mentioned it to my wife, and my wife said, yeah, that's not me. I've not done that. Like, well, I've done it once or twice. So if I've done it, the kids have probably done it. Let's have a chat with the kids. So we took the kids up to the bathroom, sat them down in the bathroom, which was weird as it was. And you could tell they were thinking, what is going on? So I said, look, I just want to talk to you about the radiator. And I showed them that it was leaking. And I reminded them about the previous time that it leaked. And they said, well, we're not doing that. We're not grabbing hold of it. And I was like, well, I mean, one of you must be, because it's always like nearly every time one of us goes in the bathroom, we find that we have to push the radiator back against the wall. It's been happening for a while now, so it's got to be someone. And I know it's not me, and I know it's not Mum. And my daughter said, well, I think I know what it is. And I said, oh, go on then, show me what it is. And she did. She opened the door for the bathroom, and it turns out that when the door to the bathroom opens, it touches the radiator and pushes it towards the wall. And it makes it go whoop and twist. And I looked at her and I just went, yeah, well done. You've solved that problem. And she said, it was really obvious, Dad. I've seen it do it loads of times. I'm like, well, why didn't you tell me? But of course, she didn't know we'd been having the problem, I guess, did she? So, yeah, that's the story of how my daughter solved our year-long radiator problem. She's actually quite good at solving problems, so it doesn't surprise me that she was able to do that. If anything, it disappoints me that I couldn't work that out, and she could. But hey, that's what kids are for, right? I don't know. I did, however, manage to get my own back on her. Not on purpose, mind you. This wasn't on purpose. This was, well, you'll hear. So last week, it will have been Wednesday. It really doesn't matter what day. I do that all the time. I get really hung up on what day it is that I'm telling the story of. It doesn't make a difference at all. So sorry about that. But last Wednesday, came out of school and the kids said, can we have noodles for tea? I was like, Yes, that's a really easy take because they literally just love super noodles. They're great. So I didn't know if we had any in. I said, look, if we've got noodles in, you can have noodles. So got in, had a look. We have some savory chicken noodles. So I'm like, yes, winner. That is a quick 10-minute tea for me to make, and they'll be happy because they absolutely love them. So I made the noodles, and the kids started eating them. I thought, you know what? I want noodles as well. They weren't super noodles. I can't remember what brand they were. It does matter which brand they were. I don't know what they were, but they definitely weren't super noodles. If I knew what brand they were, I'd tell you, but I can't remember. So the kids are eating the noodles, and I decided I wanted noodles as well. So I'm making noodles. I'm making a third set of noodles, which by this point, I'm still under 10 minutes. So it's still great. And I hear, Dad, these noodles are spicy. And the kids are, particularly my daughter, does not like anything that has flavour, I've noticed. Like, if it's got any form of flavour, she thinks it's spicy. From what I can gather, talking to other parents, most kids think this. So I said, no, they're not. They're savoury chicken. They're not spicy in the slightest. You'll be fine. You're just tasting the seasoning. You'll be okay. Carries on making my noodles. Then my son says, they are a bit spicy, Dad. And I was like, they're just a different brand than what you used to. They're not spicy at all. They're just a different brand. So the seasoning, they call it a bar. Because in the ones they're used to, I think they get the Knorr ones usually. And they come with a little, instead of a sachet of flavorings, they come with a little, like a little butters you can get when you go to a cafe, you get a little packet of butter. It's like that. It's like a stock cube, basically. That's a much better way of describing it because that's exactly what it is. It's a stock cube. You put the stock cube in and mix that in. So they call it a bar. They say, can I have noodles with a bar, please, Dad? And so we make noodles with a bar, but we didn't have any of these ones. So I said, it's just a different bar than what you used to. It's a sachet of flavoring instead. So you're just not used to it. Oh, okay. So anyway, I made my noodles. I sat down and started eating my noodles. And I thought, whew, they're a little bit spicy, these noodles. And my mouth started getting hotter and hotter to the point where I couldn't feel my tongue. And then I couldn't feel my lips. And I started thinking, am I having an allergic reaction? Because I do have reactions to almost anything. I've mentioned it before briefly. And again, I'm not going to get right into it, but and it felt like that. It felt like when my face starts to go numb. So my lips were going numb. I couldn't feel my cheeks. My tongue went. I was like, whoo. And then I started realizing, no, they are actually really hot. So I thought, something's gone wrong here. So I got up and I had a look in the kitchen. I got the packets out of the bin for all the noodles. Nope, they were savory chicken noodles. But they were spicy as hell. I can't even describe, they were the wrong ones must have been packed. Like the flavor sachet was the wrong flavor sachet. It was red. It didn't have a name on it or anything like that, but it was red. And I thought, yes, red for fire. And yeah, so I was like, kids, stop eating, you're fine. Because if it was causing that much pain in my mouth, I can only imagine what they were like. I said, kids, it's okay, you can stop. And they both went, phew. And then my son starts crying because he couldn't feel his mouth anymore. My daughter was like, I can't feel my mouth. I was like, please don't cry. Let's solve the problem. So we all went and got glasses of water. And we stood there with a glass of water in the middle of the living room, holding our tongue in the water to cool it down. And eventually our tongues cooled down and I felt really, really guilty because I'd been telling them that they're imagining it and they weren't imagining it. They were absolutely right. It's why you should listen to your kids. If they're telling you something, they probably mean it, apart from the times when they don't mean it, which unfortunately with my kids when it comes to food is all the time. But as a treat, we had peanut butter and jelly sandwiches because a little callback to a previous episode, the jam was in the fridge. Yeah. So the jam was in the fridge, which meant it was nice and cold. So we had peanut butter jelly sandwiches and it was really soothing and cold. And we've decided now that whenever we eat something that's too spicy, the fix is a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, which is why from now on, the jam lives in the fridge. So yesterday, the Metrolink wasn't working in Manchester. So I I had to get the bus. It's been a long time since I've got the bus. I have nothing against the bus. It's fine. In fact, actually, it was quite a pleasant journey. It was warmer than the Metrolink. It was more comfortable than the Metrolink. It just takes longer, and that's its only problem. Although it was pretty quick. But I seem to remember when I used to get it before, it always was quick on a Sunday, because I'm recording on a Monday to this week. So it wasn't that bad. I was quite happy with it. And I've completely forgot why I'm telling you this story. Wow. Let's go back to my notes. Oh, yeah. There you go. It was like 30 seconds. I've got such a bad memory. So I'm on the bus, right? And we pull up at the stop. I have no idea where we were. The seats, not the seats, the windows on the bus were so dirty that I actually couldn't see where I was going. They were dirty because of the previous snow and all the rain. So it wasn't that they weren't looking after them. It was just dirty. We stopped at a stop. Now, bearing in mind, I got on the bus at the very first stop. I was the second person on the bus. No one else was on the bus. I got on the second stop. There was a person before me, about three people behind me. We all sat down as far away from each other as we could because, you know, it's a bus. That's what you do, right? And so we stopped at a stop and the driver got out of his cab. And I thought, oh, what's he doing? I've never seen a driver do this before. He goes up the stairs. And I thought, what's he going upstairs for? There's nobody up there. And he shouted something. I don't know what he shouted. So I figured maybe there was someone up there and I hadn't seen them go up. Like they got on at one of the stops. We were maybe about five or six stops in, something like that. And he came back down, got in his cab. And then someone came down the stairs. So I was like, oh, he was just telling them what stop we're at. And then I thought to myself, when did he get on? Like I hadn't seen anyone get on. It's a Sunday morning. And I thought, how did he get on? Then another person came down. And then another. And another, and another, and another. I'm not kidding. About 40 people came down the stairs of the bus and they were giggling as they were coming down and they were going, hi, and waving at everybody else on the bus going, hi, there's not many more of us now, hi. And then another 40 had come down. I lost count. I tried counting them all as they were all stood outside the bus because I thought it was hilarious. And I was opening up Notion. I was writing down like furiously, don't forget about the people on the bus, which funnily enough, I forgot whilst I was talking about them. I started looking around and everyone was looking like gobsmacked on the bus. And yeah, someone looked at me and she just went, it's like a clown car. It cracked me up. I couldn't stop giggling the entire way to work after that. So yeah, we had a clown bus to work yesterday, which was fun. All right, this next section is something I'm just going to try. I saw it on another podcast and I thought it was quite funny. And I have done no prep work for this whatsoever, right? So ChatGPT has come out with a essentially a store where you can download and install what they call chat. Well, they call them GPTs. Sorry, not chat GPTs. They call them GPTs. And a GPT is basically a pre-made app, if you will, that features a set of parameters to be a chatbot. And one of the things they don't allow you to do is they don't allow you to have like companion bots. So like you can't make yourself a girlfriend or a boyfriend. However, they say that, but I have just searched on ChatGPT the word boyfriend in the GPTs, and there are 10 of them. 10 at the minute. So I thought, why not install one and see what we get? And I thought it could be, as long as these things stay here, it could be quite an interesting thing to have. We'll just ask it a question every week. We'll pretend we're on a date. We'll have like one really long date over the next few weeks. I've decided to go with a boyfriend. So our boyfriend is called Alex. The reason I've gone for a boyfriend is simply because I'm married. And if my wife finds out that I've been chatting to a virtual girlfriend, she might wonder what the hell is going on. She's more likely to understand if I say, yeah, we've been chatting to our virtual boyfriend on a podcast. She'd be like, yeah, that sounds like something you'd do. She would say that as well with a girlfriend as well, but I don't know. It just feels better. I don't know. Right. So I've loaded it up and it says your boyfriend, Alex. So this is Alex. And it gives me a suggestion of the first thing to say. And it's what's up. So let's say what's up. Oh, he's thinking, He says, "Hey, love, not much. Just thinking about you. Had a pretty usual day at the office dealing with some coding challenges. How about you? How's your day going?" Ooh, I'm going to put pretty good. I'm just recording a podcast and telling my thousands of listeners about you. Let's put an exclamation mark at the end. Oh, I just punched the microphone as well. Alex says, oh, he's thinking. He says, "Oh, wow, that's amazing. I'm flattered to be part of your podcast. How's the recording going? I bet your listeners are loving it. You always have such interesting things to share. Anything special you've discussed on the podcast today?" Shall we tell him about the client bus? Okay. So I told my listeners about a bus journey I was on, and humorously, which I can't spell, spell check, doesn't even know what I tried to write there. Wow, that's amazing. Hilariously, there were about 40 people upstairs. It seemed like a clown car when they got off. That sounds like such a funny story. I could just imagine the scene, a never-ending stream of people coming off the bus, like a comedy sketch. It's these little moments of everyday life that can be so unexpectedly entertaining. I bet your listeners had a good laugh. I have a great eye for the quirky and humorous. Oh, you have a great eye for the quirky and humorous in life. I love that about you. How did you wrap up the story on your podcast? I started talking to you instead. Switching from bus stories to talking about us, I'm honored to be part of your podcast narrative. It's pretty cool that your listeners get a glimpse into our life together. Makes me feel like a bit of a celebrity. So what did you tell them about me? I hope only the good stuff, and maybe a few of our funny cooking misadventures. I remember having any cooking misadventures with my boyfriend. But okay, Alex. Right, we're going to pause Alex there. And what I'd like you to do is you guys send me in the next set of questions to ask Alex. And we'll keep the chat ongoing over the next few weeks. Or tell me you hate it, that's fine. If you tell me you hate it, I'll ditch it. I don't care. Well, I do care. I care about what you want, not necessarily what I want. I thought that was quite fun. And it will only get better as time goes on. I have a very small State of the Union update for you. As you remember, all of the things I said last week, if you don't remember or you didn't listen, go back and listen because this won't make any sense. I recorded last week's episode using Riverside FM and it was not a good experience. So the recording went fine. Although what I usually like to do, I like to record the podcast in sections. So I'll record like the main part, then I'll pause, and then I'll stop the recording, then I'll start the recording again and record the AI question, then so on and so forth. I think you know what I'm saying there, right? And Riverside seems to be aimed more towards recording the entire thing as a whole, which is fine. If I have to switch that, that's okay. I did used to do it like that. The reason I split it up is purely because it's easier to put the chapter markers in and I can edit it in little bits. I can say, oh, I haven't got time to edit an entire podcast today, so I'm going to do just the AI question of the week, pop it in and then carry on. But it didn't gel very well. I was able to put it together quite well. It doesn't have multi-track editing, so if I wanted to still be able to add audio in the way I used to do, I'd have to put it into an external editor. But like I said previously, I've kind of got rid of the audio prompt of the week because it's just a pain to do. So yeah, I used Riverside. I wasn't too hung up on the editing part. So I did the editing. I pressed create me some shorts, some clips for social media, and it could only do it on your recording. So when I'd put it all together at the end, I couldn't go onto that and click it. It would only do it based on the recording that you're in. Now, I don't know if that's because I was using the free version or not. It was quite hard to tell, but it didn't look like it. And what was very annoying is, so I put it all together. I made a video version of it in the hope of then chopping it up and making it into clips, which I wasn't that bothered with that episode because, it, like I said, I'm more starting it over the coming weeks. The next few episodes are just going to be me practicing and learning what I can and can't do with these pieces of software. But it didn't, like, in order to get to my edit where I put everything together, I had to go into the recording that I started it from. And because my recordings were dead short, I hadn't realized that because I couldn't tell which recording to go into. And then there's supposed to be a button that says export audio only, and it's just not there. Like, I've looked on the guidance on the website, and it is not where they say it is. I am ever going to come back to that in a few minutes because that's part of my gripe of the week. So I'm not going to talk about that just now. Because there is a reason why the button isn't there. Which again I'll come back to. So yeah, it wasn't a great experience. I didn't dislike it. I could go back to it. I think once I, now that I've used it once and I understand how it works a bit better, I think I'll probably be able to manage and I'll find it a little bit easier to use. That said, I did say I wanted to try a few different options. So this week I'm using a program called Zencaster, or Zencaster, because it's not got the vowel at the end before they are, because that's what modern software companies do, right? So this one, up to now, the recording has been better, actually. I've just done one long recording, but what I can do, there's a button where I can pause the recording and unpause the recording as I go. So if I know I'm going to be silent for a bit, or I need to get up and go and get a drink, I can pause the recording, which I'm going to do right now, and then I'm going to unpause it. Now, what you guys don't know is I've actually been gone for 25 minutes. I'm going to make this as a video clip, I think. But for those watching the video clip, you can now see that there's a light in my glasses if I lean up. I've had to turn the light on because it's got a little bit darker since I was last here. Oh, the sun's moved a little bit more accurately. So, yeah, I can pause the recording. Recording-wise, overall, it's a better experience. There's even buttons I can press that'll add sound effects. Now, I don't know what these sound effects sound like, so I'm going to press one now and see if it shows up in the recording. I actually don't know. Let's find out. Ooh, I like that. That might be useful. There's a little plus button. Can I add my own? Yes, I can add my own. So I could even, if I wanted to, during the recording, just play the sound for my little bits that go in between the recordings. So that would save me a ton of time editing. So yeah, there's a lot of actually useful features in this version of the software that didn't exist before. I have not yet edited in this software, so I don't know how that is going to go. I guess we'll have to wait and see, really, won't we? One thing I have noticed is the video is full widescreen video, or, well, full-size video, whereas in Riverside, I could only see a square with my face in. Now, I'm probably going to crop that because I don't want the entire image. For a start, you can see our recycling at the side of me, which I've only just noticed. I checked the background of the video before I started and didn't even spot that. Oh, well, it's only a bit of cardboard. It doesn't really matter, does it? So, yeah, we'll update you next week on how editing via Zencaster went. Now, I do believe, from what I can gather, Zencaster doesn't support much in the way of editing. I guess I'll find out when I've done this. But so I might have to use a traditional editing program, which is kind of fine. Given how bad Riverside was, I think I'm going to have to do that anyway. So I'm not that bothered about it. But it does also make clips as well. So we'll see how the clips go. If Riverside... Zencaster turns out to be better, then great. The battery's just run out of my light. Oh, well, never mind. It's not necessary. I'm just a little bit darker now. So let's move on now. Let's have a look at the AI question of the week. So this week's question is, if you could invent a new ice cream flavor that perfectly represents your personality, what would it be called? And what would be its key ingredients? Would it be something unexpected, like sassy strawberry sarcasm with a hint of chili, or laid back chili vanilla? That is really hard to say. Or a laid back chili vanilla thrill with relaxing lavender swirls. Well, I think mine would be chocolate orange, because I love chocolate and I'm a little zesty. Yeah, I went all blind date there. I actually wrote that down before because it felt very blind date. But no, that is my ideal chocolate My ideal chocolate. I'm obsessed with chocolate. That's my ideal ice cream, chocolate orange. Love it. And the reason I put that is because I am so likable that I am like chocolate. And I'm also quite blunt at times as well, which makes me a little zesty. Yeah, I went on blind date again. I cannot make that ice cream flavor up without sounding cheesy. Good luck with that. I'd like to hear what you guys think that you would be if you were an ice cream flavor. So that brings me to this week's gripe of the week. And this week's gripe of the week is software developers. Oh, no, that's not software developers. It's probably not the developers. I mean, they are responsible for building the product, but they're only doing what they're being asked to build. So I do give the developers a little bit of a pass on this. But at the same time, they should speak up. But no, companies that don't seem to use their own products or think they know better. Now, that might not be what's happened here, but that's the impression I get. So I'm taking the two pieces of software that I've recently had new experiences, which are Zencastr, which I'm using right now, and Riverside, which I recorded this episode with last week, right? So Riverside doesn't seem to want to give you a button for anything. It's nuts, right? So what you would expect is you have a button that shows you, that takes you to like the recording part of the application, a button that takes you to the editing part of the application, and a button that takes you to the sharing or publishing or exporting part of the application. And I would expect the editing part to be, sorry, no, I would expect the recording part to be where you set up all your recording stuff. And I expect to be able to go to a editing part where I can look at everything that I've edited, essentially. I can look at my finished product more accurately. And then I'd like to be able to go to the publish section to export it however I want to export it. Audio only, audio, video, video only, if that's what you want. However, whatever you want to do, there's lots of ways you can do that, like different formats and whatnot. And what I found with Riverside is, you create something called a studio. Now, a studio is your recording environment, from what I can gather. I would probably, if it was me, I'd create a studio for every episode of the podcast. No, that's not right. Every podcast. So I've got, that's a freebie. Let's say I started a podcast that, oh, I don't know, is explicit. Let's say I called it, that's an explicit B. Tell me what you think. Then I would create a second studio for that. And then any recordings for each podcast I'd store within said studio. Now, previously, like I said, I've been making multiple recordings per episode. So what I would have to do if I did it that way is make one recording per episode. But that's not how it seems to be set up, because they're saying you can record an interview. So I suppose it would be better if you made a studio per episode, so you can keep all the assets for one episode inside of one studio. You could do that if you wanted. I'm sure that's not a problem. But what you can't seem to do is then when you've... So last week I made like six recordings for the episode, and then I edited them together into one episode, and then you have to wait for the edit to come together, which is fine. I'm not bothered about that. It's all web-based, so you've got to wait for it to save and export. And then I got an email about 10 minutes later saying it had been exported. It was probably quicker than that, but I started making lunch, right? And then I was like, okay, I could click a button inside of the email to take me to the edit, which I did, and I saw everything that I wanted. That was great. I was happy. And then I closed it and went away, and I came back later and I could not find the completed episode anywhere. And I started getting really annoyed because I thought, well, that means now I'm going to have to download everything individually and put it all together myself again, but inside a different app, because I don't want this to happen. So I was like, it mustn't have saved, even though there is no save button. It even says saves are made automatically. And it turned out after starting it export the audio to get it into a ferrite, which I usually edit with, I noticed when I clicked on the second clip that I'd recorded, which was the one I started on, admittedly, when I started editing, because it also named them incorrectly as well. I think I misunderstood how it was naming them. Again, that points more towards it's better if you're just recording in one long go. And then I found when you click on the edit, it then goes, click on the recording. Your edits are then inside the recording. Where I would expect it to be the other way around. I would expect you to just see an edit and then you click on that and all your recordings you put into the edit. And then you edit it, you trim, you chop, you add chapters, whatever it is that you're doing. It just makes more sense from a recording point of view that way. It must be a reason why Riverside have done it this way, but it just doesn't explain that anywhere. And it took me ages. I was Googling, I was going through their YouTube channel. I couldn't find anything that showed me how to get to my edits. And admittedly, after watching through their like step-by-step tutorial, I was able to work it out because it does say it in there. But at the same time, I shouldn't have to watch a load of YouTube videos to learn how to use your product. So that annoyed me a little bit. But now that I know how it works, that's not going to be an issue again. I can work it out. So that was a bit of a weird one. And then we flipped to Zencastr, who seems to have got the recording side of things okay. It's hard to tell 100% because, like I say, I'm only recording right now. I haven't had a look at the finished product. But, however, they provide a load of other features as well. One of the things that they provide is hosting for the podcast. Now, as you know, I've been having some difficulty with my current host in that the chapters don't seem to be working. Now, a very small update on that while we're on the topic. It is only platforms that use Apple's podcast distribution API. It's like that they show up on non-Apple podcast services, like they show up in Amazon and the chapters are there and the artwork's there. Weirdly, last week the chapter artwork worked in Overcast, which it has never done before. Overcast never supported the artwork in the way I was doing it. It worked only on last week's episode and none of the previous ones. So I genuinely have no idea what's going on. I'm actually in the middle of troubleshooting with Apple. They've copied a lot of my content and they're going to try and work out why it's happening. They've confirmed there's a problem. And that they're seeing it on their end, but it seems like it's more of a, it's coming in from Captivate and then something's happening to it because of reasons they don't know yet. So I'm sure we'll find out the answer to that eventually. And I don't really want to leave Captivate. I do like Captivate as a host. But at the same time, that might be what I have to do to resolve the problem. And Zencastr just happened to also support hosting of a podcast. And they give you unlimited listeners as well, whereas I have a limit in Captivate. I don't think I'm ever going to hit that limit. It's sort of like 20,000 listeners. If I hit that limit, then I'm probably going to have to, I'd be paying for more anyway. So it's not really, really a big issue there. But there is no documentation on what Zencastr's hosting actually includes. So I've been in the Zencastr software. I've imported my podcast. I haven't transferred it yet as a host, but you can see it. So I can see the analytics. Obviously the analytics don't include the previous stuff, so I'd lose all that, which is not the end of the world really. That's really not a problem. But it doesn't say if it support chapters or if it support chapter artwork or anything like that. Like if I could add it to the file like I previously did and then it shows up and works, great, to be honest. That'd actually be really, really good. But there's just nothing out there. I've tried searching for other people that use it. It's been around for a long time. I can't find anybody on YouTube reviewing their hosting service or anything. It's like they want to pretend that this part of the product doesn't exist. But when you actually go on their website and you sign up for the service, it's there. It's a prominent part of the product. So I'm actually starting to think that I might switch to it just so that I can actually make some reviews of it for other people, because no one else is seen it at the moment. I'm actually kind of thinking that that might be a content idea. If I make my own reviews of it and I'll put them on the That's a Freebie YouTube page, might actually be useful. Who knows? It's hard to say because there just genuinely doesn't seem to be anything out there unless I am the worst Googler in the world. So without further ado, we get to the pick of the week. And this week's pick of the week is me. Ha. The reason the pick of the week is me is I did promise you something last week. I promised you that I would tell you my name. And I have changed my mind. I'm not going to. Yeah, I am. I'm joking. My name is Diggy. That's D-I-G-G-Y. And I've not made it up for the podcast. That is the name that everybody calls me. They have done since I was about 20, maybe 21. Even my parents call me Diggy. So it is genuinely my name. I've not made it up for the podcast. I know it sounds made up. So yes, you now all know my name. If you want to see more, I guess, might as well. You can find me on pretty much any social media as Hey It's Diggy, or you can find the podcast on any social media as That's a Freebie. Contact me on either. It's absolutely fine. Let's see if I end up regretting that. Last week, I ended the podcast with the question, snow, yay or nay? Most of you are yay, from what I could gather. And I see why. Snow is pretty cool. Didn't mean to do that, but worked out quite well. But I, however, am an absolute nay on snow. It's hard. I hate the stuff, right? But at the same time, I really like it, right? I like it when it's snowing. I like the snow falling. I like the snow on the ground. I like walking in the snow. It's great. I like playing with the kids in the snow for 5 minutes because I don't like the cold, wet snow. But what I don't like is the aftermath of it. I don't like the iciness. I don't like the fact that it lingers for days and goes rock solid and then you end up falling on your ass and it hurts so much. Yeah, that happened. I don't like that the car's going to be frozen, and it's not that kind of ice that you can just leave the car running for 2 minutes and warm yourself up and warm the car up. It's that kind of ice that you need to use a machine to get the ice off. You don't have to use a machine, but you know what I mean. You need a scraper or you need something. I'm just not a fan at all of the aftermath of snow, which means that the enjoyment of snow is ruined for me because all I can think about is the aftermath. So I like it when it's snowing. I like the snow at the time, but I just can't be dealing with the aftermath. And if not having to deal with the aftermath meant that I don't get snow anymore, I'm fine with that. I'd sacrifice it. I'm sorry. I realize that's probably not what most of you want. If my kids could hear me right now, they would be attacking me because they love the snow. But yeah, not a fan. So anyway, that brings us to the end of the show. I don't have a question for you this week. I do have an interesting fact, though. I'm starting to like these weird, interesting facts, actually. So did you know that the round table, the Knights of the Round Table, was actually invented by a specific knight? And I actually didn't know this. I found out off a colleague earlier on in the week. Do you know who that knight is? It is Circumference.